Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Case in Point. I'm your host, Justin Case, and this is episode 11, and with me I have my trusty co-host, Jody Yearden, Esquire. Jody, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was alright.
Pizza breads.
Pizza breads. It's very inside baseball on that one. No, it was good. It was good. Good weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you actually get a chance to eat some pie? Because at my house, I didn't get a chance to get any pie. I had some cookies.
Why did you not get a chance to eat any pie?
Well, because I kind of ate too much of the regular food and was getting semi-comatose. And by the time I regained my senses, the table had been cleared of pie for the most part. And I managed to snag some. I had about 6 or 7 turkey-shaped cookies off the table, which were very good. They're like gingerbread with frosting. Hey, that's a double attack right there. I like it. But nope. Yeah.
I actually had 3 slices of post dinner pie. Pumpkin pie, a homemade cherry pie from my mother, and a homemade blueberry pie. Excuse me, that my mother had made. And then she sent me home with, I think, 2 more pieces, which I ate later on the next day. I actually still have 1 piece, I think, from my neighbor in the fridge, so it's a week old, but I'll eat it. I don't care.
He put it in the microwave, soften it up.
Pumpkin pie in the microwave, yeah.
The cranberries! The cranberries!
No, the only one that's left is pumpkin pie. I've never had warm pumpkin pie before, but that does
No.
This does not sound great.
Yeah, we don't do that. That's just not right. Yeah, I'm a pecan pie kind of guy.
What is the first thing you go for on the Thanksgiving table? What is your what's your number one draft pick?
Dessert or standard food?
Standard food.
Dinner rolls and butter.
Roll and butter?
Yep, dinner rolls and butter. And mashed
potatoes. Now, is that all you eat? Are you like a 3-year-old boy? Is that all you eat off the table?
I will eat turkey as long as it's dry.
Oh, you're like dry. Your brother's the same way. We had this conversation.
That's
because
the turkey's always dry at my mom's. Turkey was always dry.
I'm a dark meat fan myself. I like the wet stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't, that's not for me. I know there's here's the deal. Dark meat turkeys, like people that like Hershey's miniatures, is a special dark. The people that like them really like them, but the people that don't like them are appalled. Like, I'm throwing that in the trash. And
right.
I feel that way.
It is just like that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good, my wife does not like dark meat and exactly would throw it in the trash before eating it.
Yeah.
But myself, I'll eat it all day. I like the wet stuff. I don't like to think about where it came from. I just like to stuff it in my gullet.
Dude, I don't want to hear wet and food in the same stanza, okay?
Yeah, that comes later on.
Yeah,
about 3 hours later or so.
And I hate it when people say, oh, it's so moist. I don't want to hear moist, wet, or moisture anywhere mentioned around food. Okay, that's disgusting. So nasty.
No.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Now, my first round draft pick is stuffing. Now, do you call it stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing. I live in the modern age.
I call
it
stuffing.
Yeah.
Dressing is an outdated term.
It is.
I don't care what you call it, as long as you put plenty of it on my plate.
Yeah, I don't like the term trimmings.
I love it.
I don't like all the trimmings. I don't like that either. And,
no, I don't care for that.
No, because it makes me think of like that disgusting grizzly skin that they pull off of the turkey and leave on the side of the plate. And I guarantee you there's probably people that eat that. And it's so disgusting.
There are, like, like gizzards, like turkey gizzards and the heart. Yeah, I don't want any of that weird stuff. It's bad enough to eat the dark meat. I don't need any of that lungs or whatever the gross stuff is that nobody wants.
Yeah, yeah.
Give that one to Uncle Frank. That's for him. Yeah, save that one for me, Clark.
Save the neck for me, Clark. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a huge stuffing fan. I love it. I think the appeal of stuffing is, like, you like it, but it's kind of like it's a seasonal food. It's not like you eat it on the 4th of July. You don't eat it during the summer. So, you know, when it makes rounds this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, you really got to make, I suppose people eat it if they have chicken or something, but I know myself, I don't eat it too much rather than just around the holidays. So you got to make the most of it. When that stuff makes an appearance, it's time to shovel it in.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, the thing, too, is it's not like something you'd eat, like, all the time. And I remember this one time, once I got my skills in the culinary arts, if you will, I started cooking for myself, and I remember we didn't have any groceries. I was, like, 19. So I'm like, the last thing I'd spend money on is groceries. I got CDs to buy. So I found this... I found some Betty Crocker stuffing in the... No, that's too highbrow. I found some store-brand stuffing that may or may not have been expired in the cabinet, and I made it. And I actually made it taste pretty good for being desperate for food. And that was, like, one of the only things to eat around the house. And every time someone brings stuffing, I'm reminded of that. And,
I mean, did you eat the entire box?
I think so, yeah.
That's a really unnutritious dinner. That'd be like eating a stick of pepperoni for dinner. I cannot think of, there's not a lot of things I can think of that are less nutritious than a box of stuffing.
It's bread and salt, pretty much, and some butter.
Yeah, that's terrible. What if it's healthy? There's celery in here. Drink a little bit of celery. It's sage. It's healthy.
It needs to have crunch. Yeah.
It's good for you. Did you eat the celery? No, I shook those parts out. But I could have eaten celery.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, you know, you and I always discuss how Frank Barone off Everybody Loves Raymond, and he's like, his wife made him that tuna sandwich. He goes, without celery. He goes, what's this? What do you mean, what is this? There's no bite. There's no crunch. This isn't a tuna sandwich. It's tuna slop. And she got really mad and threw it in the garbage. It was awesome. I don't generally eat celery unless it has, like, peanut butter with it or something. But anyway, I don't want to bore people too much with our Thanksgiving cuisine preferences.
No, I think they like it.
Oh, you think so, huh?
I hope so.
Well, we have inadvertently plugged Betty Crocker, so...
And Bell. This episode brought to you by Bell Stuffing. The number three name in stuffing.
Number three, No, but we had probably had the best Thanksgiving we've ever hosted, because Crystal and I, we've hosted Thanksgiving at our place since 2006. So, and people really like that because they don't have to do anything. They'll just bring, I'll bring some pies. But we're the ones that, you know, hosted our house. So it's like we do like all the potatoes. We do the green bean casserole. And then Crystal's parents bring the turkey. I cut the turkey. And then her aunt and her cousins bring desserts like cookies and pies and stuff. So it's a great time. And the past few Thanksgivings we did, we actually had... I have a projector, so we watched, like, you know, Empire Strikes Back or some of the Star Wars movies on the wall. So it's like you're at the theater. I actually have, like, a theater set up. And it's great because the wall is actually, like, that manila-colored, you know, backing like you'd have for, like, a projector screen. It's great. And we're going to actually put that projector, we're going to hang it from the ceiling. It's going to be awesome. And
you guys should watch a Thanksgiving classic movie, like, one of the classics, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, or Dutch, or...
Well...
No, that's it. Those are the only Thanksgiving movies.
Well, there's little kids there, and some of those movies are, like, dropping F-bombs and stuff. I don't have that stuff around when little kids are around. you know, but if it was just adults, I wouldn't care, you know, but I agree. Those are great movies. And but yeah, that's what we did. I tell you what we watched. We watched, brace yourselves, folks, Santa Claus the Movie. I put that on, and I will tell you why, because I was pressed to put in a Christmas movie, and I said, and I remember muttering to myself upstairs, well, careful what you wish for. So I went upstairs, and I have the remastered Blu-ray restored film version of Santa Claus the Movie, and I put that on, and I said, all right, that's done. Now, up next, He-Man, the He-Man Christmas special. And Crystal's uncle goes, oh, no. Like that. So I said, all right, I won't do that to you, man. I won't do that to you. So I think I ended up just putting it on Netflix. I think I put it on, like, Filthy Riches or something like that. And
Now let me ask you this. So they sat through the Santa Claus the Movie in its entirety?
Yes.
Wow, those people must really like you guys. Or you were really waiting for that dessert.
It was brutal. It was background. And they were, so some folks were too busy gabbing at the dinner table. We have a very open floor plan in my house. I have a very big house. So the TV room would be separate from where the dining room would be, but we had them take that wall out, leave it out in the design, and there's a support beam there, and they made a huge archway, right? So what enables you to do is you can have people talking right there, but then you have, like, the whole TV and everything there. Some people were talking about stuff, and usually Black Friday deals. We'd have all the circulars out. They're trying to find good stuff that doesn't exist, and, like, good deals.
Well, you live in an old textiles warehouse, correct?
Yes, that's true. Yes, but, yeah, that's kind of...
I gotta tell you, I was at Target last weekend. And there was a display that actually had a copy of Santa Claus the Movie. Excuse me. Santa Claus the Movie on DVD, okay?
Right.
Wasn't any kind of 30th anniversary. I picked it up. I looked at it. It didn't look like it had any features. $9.99, my friend, for the DVD copy of Santa Claus the Movie.
That's a little steep.
So I was so put off.
Yes.
You have got to be kidding me. You're lucky to get $4 for this, much less $9.99. They're really pushing their luck.
I paid $5 for that remastered one, man. I didn't pay anything close to that. Yeah, I mean, you know, because if you watch the original movie, it has that blurry kind of European football look to it,
yeah,
where it's blurry. But when you watch that other version, the one I have, that's all gone. It looks like an original theatrical presentation, like it's all sharpened and all cleaned up and everything, and there are tons of deleted scenes on that thing. It's unbelievable. But at any rate,
well, that's pretty good, actually. I mean, the movie's terrible, but I guess if you had a reason to buy it, a Blu-ray, that would be a movie to buy it for, because that fog, that London fog, not the clothing brand, of course, but that right. London fog that kind of looms over the entire film, that
yeah,
weird European camera thing.
Yeah.
It would be nice if you... it's very distracting. So I suppose if you were going to watch it, that would be... It certainly couldn't hurt the movie. It's not going to make it any worse not to have that in there.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I like the BZ Toys stuff, and I think that John Lithgow makes that movie, and he's the reason I watch it, solely for that. And I like the special effects. I thought those were pretty cool, but... takes me back to
There's
when I was
special in... effects in that movie?
Well, special for 1985. They dumped so much money into that thing. And they broke the bank. And they were broke after they made the movie. Didn't do anything. Didn't sell tickets. But at any rate, yeah, guys, this is not the Santa Claus movie edition of Case in Point. But what we're going to do is we're going to discuss the much desired NES classic console that has come out. And it's,
we're talking Nintendo.
A Nintendo NES, Nintendo Entertainment System. And it's a console. It's preloaded with how many games, Jody? Is it like 13 games or 15 games?
30. This is the NES Classic Edition.
I must have been thinking of the Big Lots version.
No, yeah, you're thinking of the... I don't know. I got nothing.
It's the Big Lots version. It only has one controller port, and it only uses RCA cables.
I got no place to screw this into.
It's good. He uses an RF converter with those metal prongs you have to screw on the back of the TV.
Yeah.
Black and white only, folks.
Prongs are like the old black and white TV.
Unless you have rabbit ears, no dice.
They render an Atari press fleet with pointers. You can't use them anymore.
Wow, I can play Barnstormers.
Hey, that game's actually pretty
I know,
good.
It's a fun game. Then Asteroids. Yeah.
I had that game, and I liked it. We'll get back to those Atari.
Yeah,
we're talking Nintendo, but I want to discuss one of those Atari flashback machines. I want to discuss that a little bit later. So don't let me forget.
Right, because I actually my wife's brother has one, and I tried it, and we'll get to it. I have my quibbles.
Yes.
Anyway, on with the NES Classic console. It was a console, I believe, the original price was, $60? Was it $60?
Yes. The retail's, $59.99.
Yeah. And so, it was one of those deals, I believe it was sold out even well before Black Friday. I mean, wow. I mean, right out of the gate, I think it was pretty much gone off the shelf. And you know, a lot of people believe that this is a Nintendo manufactured shortage, as far as trying to drum up demand for it. Because they did the same
thing.
The original Wii, they did that.
Statements. They've done that with all of their consoles. They do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Judging from personal sphere of influence from people I know, when the announcement came that this thing was coming, when June, July, I think is when they made the announcement, and with a follow-up trailer for the system. People I know that don't even play video games were sharing the video, commenting on the video. It really had a lot of interest in the system.
Yeah.
So for them to come out and make statements that, oh, we had no idea that the interest was here for this, I don't believe it. And especially if you read different things. I've read, now that I'm talking about it, I cannot remember the name of the book, but it's about the Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo Wars of the early 90s.
Was it called
a fantastic book?
Console Wars or something like that? Or
Console Wars, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a great book. Great book. I just read it this year. And
okay.
They talk about that in there. That is kind of a point that they have employed many times, is to shortchange this stuff when it comes out just to drive up the demand and all this free publicity and kind of not deliver. They've always kind of played it safe. Whether they did it on purpose or not, it seems to me like they probably did it on purpose, but they sometimes would almost accidentally surprise that people wanted their product, which seems kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Like, we have this great thing that we're really proud of, and We don't know if anybody really wants it, so we won't make many of them. But
well,
I've heard reports that when stores like Target, GameStop, and Walmart were getting these, they're only getting 10 or 12 units. And to me, that just...
That's bull. That's manipulation. That's manipulation.
It really is.
Yeah.
And if that was the case, I mean, this was 3 weeks ago when this was released.
Oh, jeez.
They have just been trickling in one... Two,
yeah, see, that's no, that's ridiculous. If I may interject with something about the system, is that actually when I heard it was even coming out, I was not impressed. I'm like, I already have original console that functions perfectly. All the games that I could ever want for the system. Also the fact that you could not front load. Get your existing games into it. That would be a big selling point for me. The other thing is that they didn't put game... Number one, they didn't put games on there. Like, every game isn't something you would want, necessarily. At least I would not want. You know, they have the tried-and-true classics like Zelda and Super Mario Brothers and that kind of stuff, but I just feel like it was lacking, and I was actually surprised that it sold out this quick. But again, it's because I think they shortchanged the consumers as far as availability, and I believe that's why it sold as much as it did. And, you know for a fact that they're going to come out with another round, and eventually in 3 to 6 months, if people could actually have some patience in this day and age, you will be able to get a decently priced console, not pay scalper prices on eBay. And I've seen the demand on online vendors, like, you know, or auction sites where these consoles, like right now, I just checked prices before we did this episode, Jody, before I called you tonight. And like, I saw a guy or someone trying to sell for $300, and I actually looked.
Oh, and that's a low, that's actually an average price for it.
See, and I'm sorry, but even that is excessive. You shouldn't be paying more than $60 for this thing, because it's not even a real console. No. I'm sorry. It's not. It is a USB device with preloaded ROMs on it. So all they are ROMs. And, you know, everyone already, you know, there's a lot of people that do emulators and stuff already. So I'm actually surprised that people even gave this a sniff. But again, it's probably because of the shortage. But
I would like to, when you're finished, I'd like to give my counterpoint to this.
Okay, I'm finished. I'd like to hear your counterpoint, because let's let her rip. I'm okay debating this. I would love to, actually.
No, that's fine. People like debate. I am of the camp, I have been looking high and low for this thing, because I want one. And I want one pretty bad, but I will not be paying $1 over $60.
I don't blame you.
Maybe it's for shipping, you know, something like that. I'm not paying $200
Absolutely.
For it.
Yeah.
And these things have retailed, I read an article yesterday. I guess there's been one on eBay that sold as high as $2,800.
That is stupid.
And they regularly sell around $1,000. It's not uncommon to see it sell for $1,000, which must be just for people that
don't care. They have the money. They know they'll get it.
Right.
I don't care what it takes.
A husband who makes. $200,000 a year, and they're dropping the bucket for that. They don't care. They just want to have it for Christmas.
Well, even $200,000 doesn't get you far these days. But anyway.
So, as far as what you said, it's preloaded with 30 games. I can't argue with your front loader argument. That is something I think they could have included in there with not a lot of. We've discussed this. When they made the announcement, I think putting a front loader in there would have been a really nice idea.
If you still had all the games, yeah.
Right, that would have been nice, because that technology is there, and it's not that expensive. They make those, what do you want to call, like, dummy NES. They make these units that are, like, you know, it's the same system as the NES. You can play these old games, or it has a slot for NES, a slot for Genesis.
Yep.
A slot for Super Nintendo, right in the same machine.
Awesome.
And just the Nintendo one, with just plays regular NES games, it's only like $20 or $30.
Yeah. But that,
now,
like,
myself,
yeah.
I am someone, hold on, I gotta take a sip of water for the working man.
Well, while you're taking a sip, I would like to say, I think those devices that you mentioned, the consoles where you can play all three, Sega, NES, and SNES, I believe those are HD. And I think that, I think they're HD. I mean, so you can hook them up to a smart TV or whatever. I don't know that they're, 4K Ultra HD, but I know they're probably at least 1080p or 720 or whatever it is. But so that alone, see, but that's the thing, man. I don't get it. I don't get it, because if you don't want one of those systems, maybe people just don't know that they're out there, because they're not really, those systems are kind of like, yeah, I happen to be in an electronic store, and what's this? You know, because they don't widely advertise that, because it's not really a brand name console, and they're there. And I actually tried one, and I was at a Fry's Electronics in Wilsonville, Oregon, on my way to the coast, right? Because I was going to go on vacation. And I almost took a picture.
Were you downtown or in one of the suburbs? I know it's a big place.
It's off the highway, so it's a suburb.
I'm kidding, I've never heard of it before.
It's a fly speck on the map, dude. You blink and you miss it. But they have this huge electronics there called Fry's Electronics. And I've been in the one in Seattle, and I've been at this one here in Wilsonville. Those are the only two that I've been in. Might even be the only two left. I have never looked into it. But This one's actually a lot better than the Seattle one. And they had one of those systems set up, those combo deals. And I did not see a single NES Classic anywhere on the shelf. Nowhere to be found. And I'm just a little... I think it's hype. Because you have a system right here that... Let's be honest, there's a lot of folks that know how to modify these things where they can take a console and put ROMs on there or whatever you want, and that's all that Nintendo did for these things. It's all they are. They're licensed ROMs that they got permission to use. That's really essentially what they did from what I've seen. I could be wrong, but you have a console that fits in the palm of an adult hand. There's no reason why you could not have put a front-loading mechanism in there. And I have...
Agreed.
Yeah, I have an old console from 86 that... my cousin gave me, and Jason and I, my brother, you know, and I, we got one in 87, so we're a couple years behind, because it came out in 85, I think. But, I have an old console from my cousin's, and I took it apart just to clean it and stuff, and they're easily fixed, because all it is there's some brushes in there that make contact with the game, the metal contacts on the game, to, a lot of times they either, A, just get corroded, right? Or you can bend, or they get loose. So you can take the top off and actually squeeze those together a little bit to get them back to where they were before. Or take some light grit sandpaper and just clean the connectors, right? A lot of people, what they do is they take rubbing alcohol and actually clean those games, the cartridges. They work perfect. Blowing into the console does nothing. It makes it worse because all that corrosion gets in there and everything else. And I'll tell you, I've been using cotton swabs on my games and clean them periodically. They work perfectly in my system. And I never have any problems with my NES. And that thing's old. That's like a first-gen NES. And, I mean, I can't even tell you how many, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of hours have been logged on that thing. I mean, because they played it all the time when I would go down to their house. It was crazy. And the fact that they gave it to me was pretty cool. Just because that was the first Nintendo I ever saw was the one that they had. So, because Jason and I were, 4 or 5 years old when it came out. So, I mean, you know, we weren't really at the age yet where we're like, you know, full gamers or anything like that. But I do think it's funny, Jody, that this console, that they did this, and why they didn't just reissue the original with the same package, because it's, I mean, everybody knows that these games, you can find them, and they're relatively cheap. Do you think that if they re-released the original NES and the original box and everything, that they could have done a more HD version of it, and the price of the old games would go up? Do you think that eBay or something would, the price gougers would be out in full force if Nintendo released. Well, what do you think?
I'm gonna tell you where the because I'm gonna tell you where the hype is on this. The reason that the hype is on this, and you say hype, I think it's justified. Is I think you're missing the one key element here, which I'm gonna disagree with you on something you just said. Is availability. You said that you know you're talking about the these dummy systems, for lack of a term, that play the game. Well, if you don't have the games or you can't find the games, then what good is that? With this, you get 30 of the... I looked at the list. Some of them are stinkers, but generally speaking, for me personally, I think you could sell... I think they could have put Mario 1, 2, 3, and Zelda 1, 2 on there. I think they could have got $60 just for that. Maybe not 60, but I bet they could have gotten 40 just for those. Because those are classic games.
Well,
these games are not available. They are available if you know where to look. But people don't want to do that. Why would I want to go and try and find these five games? I can tell you, we have a used video game store here in town. They never carry any of those games because those are the games that people want. And if they do carry them, average price is about $20 a piece for those. And $20 for those, that's $100. That's already more than, that's almost twice as much as the system goes for.
Well, start saving your pennies. If you want something, you got to pay for it. That's, you know.
But it's not, they're making it easy for you here. It's not worth paying for. Yeah. I don't want to go out and hunt all this stuff down when I could just get it all in one package.
Yeah, but what if you want more games than just the ones they offer you in the system, you're still screwed. What if you want to play stuff
Then you would have to get a Nintendo.
But you have to do it anyway. You have to do it anyway, Jody.
You know, why do I have to do it anyway?
Well, if you're fine with just the handful of games they put on there actually good, then that's different. But
I am okay with it. I have a working Nintendo to get those games, but like Mario 2, 3, the Zeldas, I can't find those games anywhere. They cost me $20 a piece. They're making it easy for me to pick it up. They've cleaned up the games. They're HD. They've cleaned them up. They've added save points. They really put a pretty good presentation on it, from what I hear. I can't find the thing, so I can't tell you personally. But that's what I'm looking at here, is availability and just kind of convenience.
There's
sure,
one thing.
You can find somebody that, I can tell you this, the average person, Joe Average or Soccer Mom, they don't know anybody who's going to mod stuff for them. They don't know anything about that. They see this thing, they see these games that they grew up playing. Maybe 30 of these games, I can go out and get them and not have to hunt them down. Yeah, I want that.
Well, there's one thing you're forgetting, Jody, is the Nintendo eStore. If you have an original Wii, or you have a Wii,
I don't have a Wii.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm saying a lot of people have an original Wii, which is, you can get very cheaply now, very cheap. And you can go on.
I was going to say, most people's Wiis are probably collecting dust underneath their TV somewhere because nobody's really playing them anymore.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to say, though. If they would actually look on the eStore, you can go on there and download these games, and they're right there at your fingertips. And they're cheap. You're talking $5, $10 a game. And it has.
But that would still be $60.
I think it depends on how much people are willing to spend. And I'm not going to sit here and support the fact that people are willing to just be cheapskates and not buy the games they want. Because, you know,
these are the games that they want. Most of the games that are, maybe they're not what you like, but most of the games that are on this, the Marios, the Zeldas, the Punch-Outs, the Castlevanias, that's what people want. They don't want Daisy or Rygar or any of these other games. They're putting the hits on there. And granted, it's not all the hits, but it's a pretty good selection.
Well, I guess I'll have to maintain, but I guess my position's a little different because for me personally, I already have all these games, and the thing is, since they're on the e-download store, they're already cleaned up. They've been there for years, and I guess I'm just a little surprised that people are all of a sudden acting like these things have just been re-released is what I'm getting at. And, I mean, you can get these games for dirt cheap. And $5 a piece. I mean, and let's say that, you know, my thing is that these games have been around available electronically for a long time on the eStore. So I'm just surprised that all of a sudden people are willing to pay all this money for something you could have been getting for years in electronic form. You know, and I understand the cartridges and the old console, fine, whatever. But I'm just saying that these have been available on the Wii Store for at least 10 years, and they're not impossible to find, and they're not that expensive. I mean, you could even get games like Kid Icarus and all the classics that we mentioned. You can even get the Super Mario Bros. 2 that was never released in the U.S. on the Nintendo eStore. And you can get games like for TurboGrafx, Genesis, our original arcade games, all of that stuff that even spans further than the NES, and they've been available on the eStore for a decade. So I guess that's kind of my position, is I just don't understand why people act as if, you know, these things were impossible to get before in an electronic form, is all I'm saying, Jody. And I understand the
appeal. I don't know if anybody is saying that, though. I don't think anybody's saying that.
No, I'm not saying that. I am personally surprised that this thing has really garnered so much attention. It's more than I expected. So, I admit when I'm wrong, but I just, like I said, I personally was surprised that when, you know, this thing was released that it's, I don't know, I guess, I think it just, maybe they're just, they knew how to really tweak the carb. Man, they really knew how to, play the audience on this one. And I mean, I would have expected at least maybe if they wanted to sell massive volumes of machines, they would have, I don't know, capitalized for the Black Friday. But I mean, because I think
that's the one thing I can say is I think they're really missing out here.
Yeah, exactly.
People are just going to give up on looking for them because I can tell you, when was this? This was in a few months ago. I was in the bank and I was wearing a Duck Hunt shirt and I had like the cashier, like I had like three people stop me, like the cashiers. The bank tellers stopped me and they're like, "Did you see that new Nintendo Classic thing? I can't wait till that comes out." Word is out. The word was out on the street. Every time I would wear that shirt, someone would stop me and they're like, "Are you gonna get that?" So I knew the interest was there, and you could tell it was from people that do not game. It's people that do not game. The nostalgia factor for Nintendo is really high because everybody had one as a kid. So I knew this thing was going to be huge. Does Nintendo even still support the Wii?
Yes.
Can you still go on there?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just had them refurbish my original Wii about a month ago, and the original, I can still go on there. I had to re-download all my games off the eStore again because my original hard drive crashed. So, I mean, I have a basis for what I'm saying here. I have personal experience with this. And you can still
get
all the same games have been there for 10 years. It never changed. As a matter of fact, they've added games to the catalog. And I've got some TurboGrafx titles on that thing. They're right there available on the store for like $4.99 a piece. And if they want to get Zelda and Mario Brothers, $10 right there. And I understand the price of the console and everything, but as far as availability of the games electronically, they've been there a very long time, and they're not expensive at all. $5 a game, come on. If you can't pay that, then you got no business, you know, even owning a Nintendo, as far as I'm concerned, because that's a pretty
true,
good...
No, but this is a good deal.
This
is still cheaper. This is still way cheaper.
No, but what I'm saying is if you can't get the system and you don't want to pay $300 or $1,000, this is a very good alternative. Dust off that Wii you have in your closet and go buy the games if you want to play them that bad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it, too, is just the experience of having that old paddle with... I mean, I guess doesn't the Wii remote work that way, too?
Yeah, and they also have... there's also a USB port on there. On the original Wii, and I have a USB NES controller that I got like 5 years ago as a birthday present, and my wife got it for me, and I never tried it, but I mean, it's worth trying to see if it works. But yeah, they have the classic, classic controller that's like a newer, updated white controller. It's not exactly like the NES, but I thought maybe a few years ago that actually did release an NES, controller version of that. I could be wrong, but maybe like a Mad Catz or Pelican version that looks just like the original controller. But yeah,
there's a bunch. I was looking at them. There's a bunch of knockoff ones you can buy with USB end on it.
Yeah, it's funny. We're debating about this system. It kind of reminds you of like the Eddie Trunk Show or something. But I don't understand why you think. I think it's very funny because this is the first time you and I have ever debated anything on this show. I think it's very
funny. Yeah. Oh, I like it.
People love this stuff.
I make no apologies.
No. Jody and I planned on doing this days ago. So this is not this. There's no legit heat here at all. This is something that we've been looking forward to. If I can talk right.
I think the general public is probably not aware that they could probably use their Wii for that sort of purpose. But I think the general public wants it for the nostalgia, for nostalgia purposes. Myself, I don't own a Wii anyways, and I never had a Wii, so I have a Nintendo, but like I said, I cannot really find the games that I want for this. So for me to get this, to get all these games in one package for a pretty low price.
Well, formerly low price.
And be able to share it with my son, who's 6, and let him get his butt kicked by, Super Macho Man. And so Super Punch-O, hey, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Oh, you know what, I'm not even going to ask because I don't want being this close to the holidays, I don't want to let anything out of the bag. Do you know anyone who was successfully able to pick up the console before the shortage? And you don't have to say who.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know anybody. They sold out here like basically within minutes of opening. If I'd known this, I probably would have pre-ordered one. But I think people really weren't. I don't think anybody was expecting the great NES shortage of 2016 because it sounds ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. You know what you reminded me of when you said that? Man, I would have went back in time, put some money on the Cubbies. That's what you reminded me of. If I had known this was going to be. That's awesome. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I honestly was not looking to even buy the system. I thought it was not necessary in my eyes, but from my own personal standpoint, because
sure.
I have all the games on the eStore if I want them. They're all right there at my fingertips and they're cheap. So I just, it was funny. I was at a Goodwill over in Lincoln City, Oregon. It's a coastal tourist town. They had Wii's right there in the freaking thrift store, like right there for like, I think they were like $15 a piece. And, just sitting there, nobody wants them. And I'm like, I should pick one of these up, you know, but I just got my other one refurbished. And, now I will tell you guys, you have to be careful. If you do pick up one of these Wii's, number one, make sure it works, make sure it's been tested, because what happens is there was a patch that Nintendo had released last year. And some of the Wii's, what they call, got bricked. Bricked is where it pretty much doesn't function. Some people do modifications on these and things of that nature, and they will brick their system, which means it's pretty much rendered inert, right? And so, but mine was just, it was, I went up and looked online, I'm like, what happened? And apparently it was an update that they did, and it screwed with a lot of the first gen consoles. Like I had, my Wii is from 2006. My brother-in-law waited outside of Walmart to get this thing. And it was crazy. There was a fight, and it was like crazy. He wasn't involved, but there was people behind us in line. And but
for the Wii,
for the Wii, yeah, the original Wii from 2006, and it was a deal where there was a guy in the back, and he had sent his kids up to the front of the line, and gave them each. I think the original price was $150, if I'm not mistaken, per system. And because it was well cheaper than anything else that was out there, and that was one of the driving things, the driving forces for the demand. And he gave his kids like $150 a piece, so grand total they were going to buy three systems. And so he sent his kids up to the head of the line, and then someone got privy to it that was there, like, hey, what are you doing? Those are your kids, right? So someone figured it out. He's like, oh no, I wasn't doing that. And it was a real scuffle, man. They almost called the cops. And you know, it was crazy, and I'm like, this is stupid. What am I doing here? I don't ever do this, and I was just down there. I wasn't there to go buy one. I was just there to kind of just hang out and talk, and because we're all gonna go, we were all gonna chip in a way that like one of us would get the console, but then if there were extra peripherals to get, like an extra controllers, because some of the games are four player, right? We got extra nunchucks, as they call them, extra games. We all kind of chipped in that way. All right, you buy the console, and I'll buy a bunch of games, and you can get some of the peripherals and blah, 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 right? And, yeah, it was a madhouse. I remember when the original Wii came out. And, you know, I can only imagine if this console was available at the volumes that the Wii was, because there were no lines waiting outside for it that I heard of. Maybe there were, but I would say that the availability was so low that I don't think it even got to that point. Would I be correct in saying that, Jody? Because I think before, at least with the Wii's, there were enough where people could actually go get one if they waited in line. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I wasn't in the market for one, so I can't really talk to that. But yeah,
you're speaking of the new system?
Yeah, I don't think there were enough available to even warrant having a line, right? Or were there lines waiting to get
No, most places like your GameStop and Target's got like 10 or 12 units. Day of release day, November 11th, and haven't seen any since. There have been trickles. I know this because I found a website online. I've been checking Target stock. I'm telling you, I'm maybe into this thing. And when they get them, it's like
Mr. Kurtwheel
or six at a time. It's not like they get in like a pallet of them or even a case of them of like 20. They're getting like three or six, or and who knows if there's employees that are smuggling these things and buying, you know what I mean? Buying
them up,
boosting them up online. I don't know, but
Well, there's always that.
It's just been a trickle. Let's put it this way. I've never seen one with my eyes, because if I had, I would have bought it. As soon as I went into GameStop today special, because listen to this. This is Turbo Man Mania here.
Turbo Man. I love it, dude.
We don't have Turbo Man, but we have plenty of his trusty sidekick Booster.
Booster? Nobody wants Booster.
I was in front of the GameStop, okay? I was doing my civic duty. I was working. And I saw the UPS guy showed up in the truck with a shipment, and they took it into the GameStop. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't think it's probably on that truck. But there's something in the back of my head's like, but what if it is? Oh, well, I don't think it is. But what if it is? You're right here. You should go check it out. So I went in there and stood in line for 10 minutes and asked about it. And the guy's like, no, we didn't get any of those. And we probably won't
Liar.
Get any.
Liar. Probably.
Christmas. Okay.
Yeah. He's probably pegging it for himself. He's
probably spoken for, you know, extended family or something.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I don't know that. I'm sure there wasn't any on the truck, but to say that they're not. I don't know. I'm sure everything is spoken for. Once the employees have had their, you know, what they want, what had their fill, then the rest of us will get one. But I'm way deep into it.
Well, I hope you find one.
I can tell you this. It's to the point where if you buy the unit, you get one controller with it. The controllers retail, the extra controllers, you can buy an extra USB controller, an official Nintendo one, retail for, I think, $9.99. I think they're $10.
Yeah, that's
those
right.
Those controllers.
That's yeah.
Those controllers are hard enough to find. Well, those are retailing for like $65.
Wow, I just went online and I still found them for $9.99. So someone's paying $65 for one of those controllers right now. They're getting screwed big time because I just went online to do a search. I used the Google shopping search, and I still found some sites for $9.99. So if they're paying that much for one of those things, they need to broaden their search because they're getting screwed.
Well, are you sure it's the official Nintendo one? Because I only asked.
Yeah, it was.
I looked on GameStop the other day, and there was one that was supposed to be the official Nintendo one, and so you click on the description, and it says, like, underneath it, this is not the official Nintendo controller, even though it looks exactly like
it's
it.
The Shenhua province. Oh, wait, we know it's fake now.
Okay. It's Nintendo.
N-E-N-T.
It's the M-E-S.
It's nice. Oh, man,
like,
I love it.
Actually, if you do look, I mean, I've looked. They even have some of these. They have front-loader cartridges that have a bunch of ROMs on it that say, like, 256 games in one.
Oh,
geez. One cartridge that you can load into your old Nintendo.
Yeah.
But you look at these games, like, this list.
Oh, they're bad.
201.
They're bad.
And the games are, like, yeah, they're a bunch of, probably, like, Japanese, like, knockoff games.
Yeah.
They have some, like, real games on there, but the majority are a bunch of bootleg games that you would never play.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny.
Hey, this isn't 1942. This is 1948. You know, the game 1942.
I own it.
This isn't 1942 or 1943. This is 1948.
Yeah, the war's over.
And it's in space. This isn't the real game.
Yeah, it's funny because they have like generic games on there, like Yo-Yo's World or something like that, and it's like. What the hell is this? It's a joke.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, Plain Ace.
Oh, man.
Plain Ace
or
something like that. Yeah.
Plane 8. Super Jump Ball 2.
Super Jump Ball? What the frig is that?
It's a basketball game featuring green team versus white team.
Oh, jeez. You know what would be bad is if they came up with a cheap knockoff of, like, Wall Street Kid to be called, like, Poker Kid or something that. Or, like, Poker Child. Oh,
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. Yeah. But,
yeah, like I said, out of the 30 games, like, some are stinkers, but some are, you've got Donkey Kong, you've got I'm excited to play Donkey Kong Jr., which is a game that I had as a kid that is inexplicably, like, a $30 game that I would never pay $30 for Donkey Kong Jr., but, well, I would like to play it. I was a big fan of that when I was a kid.
Wonky Dong, what's this?
Come Wonky Dong. Wonky Dong the third on the 201 NES game.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because I, like, remember like if you'd go to a hotel in, like, maybe the mid-2000s or even the late 90s, they have these video game channels that they would have. And they would have, like, an N64 controller or whatever the system would be at the time.
It'd be a Genesis. It's only, I gotta pay $11.95 for 2 hours to play Comic Zone.
I got 2 hours for Earthworm Jim, $11.99. This is terrible.
Yeah.
What a ripoff. I got this game at home. I'm on the road. I got to get my fix.
I got to blow off some steam. I got to play Ninja Gaiden here for 2 hours.
You spent $148 on Toe Jam and Earl? This is coming out of your allowance.
You're right. They did have those.
Yeah.
I think they might have continued the tradition with Nintendo 64 when that came out, too.
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier. There's this... You're going to love this, dude. We stayed at this hotel once called the Sweetbriar Inn, which I think is funny because it's the name of it, the Sweetbriar. And I always laugh when I hear it. But yeah, they had an N64 set up there, like with a controller and stuff. And you would log on to this thing. And I remember looking at the channel, I'm like, this is stupid. This is a ripoff. You know, and I remember the games were not very good. They're, you know, and they didn't have, like, cool N64 games like, you know, Super Mario RPG, or what's the one where they go in the castle and stuff. It was always on, like, the demos for the kiosks at the stores and stuff like that. And, like, Donkey Kong 64 was another one that was real popular for the demo stations. What else? Star Fox 64 was another one. Clay Fighters was another one. Remember Clay Fighters?
Love that game. That's a great game.
Yep. They had Clay Fighters, Fur Fighters, Killer Instinct. Did they do Clay?
I like that game too.
They did Killer Instinct for the 64. Yeah, they did, because I think I own it. It's a black cartridge.
I think it's Killer Instinct 64. The original one was for the Super Nintendo, and it had that cutting edge, like, 3D graphics.
Right, which was crazy for the SNES, so I was like, wow, that's amazing. They really pushed that system like crazy. And not to touch on newer games too much, but the new version of Killer Instinct is amazing. My brother-in-law bought it for the Xbox One, and I got to tell you, they have a soundtrack available with that as well. And they updated a lot of the main themes for the original, like the menus, like the character select screen. They updated all of the, like, that kind of music to, like, this really awesome metal, heavy metal sound. And it's just, it's amazing. And it was like, took me back. I'm like, man, I tell you, it took me back to, like, when I was, that probably came out when we were like 13 or 14 years old. And I was like, I thought it was such a great, it paid great respects to, like, the original release, because, I mean, I remember when that game came out, I'm like, this is so much better than the other 2D fighting games that were out there, and it just, it's so cool, because the characters are so neat, and it's like, I think I used, is it Kilgore, or Fulgore? Fulgore is who I used, and Jason used Cinder quite a bit. That was one of his favorite characters. But no, that game, the reissue, or the, sorry, the re boot that they did or the remaster that they did that's out there for the newer systems right now is pretty good. I really enjoy it. And
well, I got to tell you, unless Green Jelly is involved, I'm not interested in the soundtrack.
The Green Jelly, yeah, from the Maximum Carnage series.
That's correct. Or the late 1993, 94 smash hit, Little Pig, let me in.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yep. I know where you're going with that too. And we knew someone that
great
was
great song, big hit. Yeah. Big hit for Green Jelly.
Yep. Yeah, so
sorry, I threw you off.
Oh no, it's all good. Man, we do it to each other all the time. But yeah, I'm sure eventually everyone's gonna get their hands on this thing, and you know, if I could get it for a good price, I'd probably buy it for someone else that doesn't have a console, you know, because I don't know. I kind of like...
Well, you have a pretty deep... Let me ask. You have a pretty deep NES collection of games, right?
Yeah, I've got at least... I got a couple boxes full where they're stacked up side by side. I would probably say I've got, like, I don't know, 40 or 50 games, maybe. Maybe more than
that. Yeah, see, I literally have, like, three.
What's your problem?
And one of them is like Popeye. I don't know. I think
you own Popeye and NES. What's?
Yeah, you have Popeye for NES. You certainly don't need the NES Classic. That should do.
Does it?
And I think Super Mario with Duck Hunt. And Duck Hunt, you cannot play on newer TVs. So I only have one game. I have Mario, which is fine. Hey, if you're going to be stuck with one game, Super Mario Brothers is one game to be stuck with.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I did buy Super Mario Maker for the Wii U, and it's awesome. I love it. It's a great game.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I don't know what happened to my games. They got somewhere with it moving or lost in the hoard.
They're not at your dad's house? Or wouldn't they be like in your old room or something? Or because the thing is,
but nobody had seen them. So I never had a copy of a lot of the games I've already listed. Anyways, it would be more along the lines of, well, I did have Donkey Kong Jr., but it would be like, oh wow, John always quarterback. Like that's a game that can stay. That game is terrible.
Oh my. Well, you know,
awful.
You know what game's real bad that we rented from the Jason and I when we were fifth grade? Our sister had her own place down in Adams, New York. And there was a video game store on the corner downtown, and we rented the Three Stooges game for the NES. And it was really bad. And it was like one of them Curly was in a boxing match, and then you had to be Larry. You were Larry Fine or whatever his name was running down the street to get there in time to get Curly like a glass of water to refresh him because he was getting his butt kicked in the ring. And so you had one player that had to do the boxing match and the other player had to control Larry Fine, and he had to jump over potholes and stuff to get down to the arena. It was impossible. And then they had a pie throwing contest on there. Don't ask me what the point of it was. It's so bad.
What kind of company released that game? Was that like a Taito? T-A-I-T-O? Was that like a Taito game?
I think it was...
Taito?
It was a... remember that company called Sammy? And they did all like the...
They did a bunch of terrible games.
Yeah, who's that race car driver? They do like... oh gosh, the name escapes me. But they do like Sammy. They do like these really generic games nobody wants. And... Yeah, like Mario Andretti Racing 2 and stuff like that. Nobody cared. And it was really bad. And I mean, there's some really generic companies that are out there. Like, what was some of the other ones? Some really crappy companies out there. Remember those? The games like they did Tengen and they did Super Sprint. Tengen mm-hmm. was a company, and they did
their company
unlicensed games, and they were. It's funny because I remember their version of Tetris, and it looked like pieces of like petrified cat crap that were being arranged on the screen because they didn't use the blocks were all brown, and it just that, when I was a kid, that's what it reminded me of. And
it's like making macaroni art, but out of cat
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotta make a square out of these chunks.
Yeah, yeah. Chop it up into little pieces. But no, the Super Sprint game was fun. I have RBI Baseball for that, and
hey, that's a good game.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
I'm told. I've never played it, but I'm told.
Yeah, I played it a long time ago. I still have that one. But there's a lot of guys out there now that actually do what they call homebrew Nintendo games. And I talked to Travis about this before. I know Travis Porter and I have talked about that, one of our buddies. And we had conversations about it, but neither of us have actually gotten into that. But homebrew, for those that aren't familiar, is they will take, it could be any kind of console, but the really popular ones right now are if you get an NES cartridge and they develop custom stickers for it. And some people have actually made any Nintendo Entertainment System 8-bit versions of like Final Fantasy VII and games that were on PlayStation. And what they do is they push the limits of the processor of the NES and put out these amazing homebrew games for this. And it's so cool, and I know the games are super expensive because they're custom made, and probably in a lot of times they're made to order. Where I mean, you're paying a premium for them, and that's where, I mean, you go on eBay. I bet you these things easily sell for between $40 and $100, maybe more.
That's what I was gonna say. I've seen one or two of them. Actually, one method is like Kickstarter, because you know what your audience is. You know how many to make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, if you're ponying up this kind of money, you know, if you're ponying up $100 or $75, then you'll get the customized box to go with it.
Right.
But for $50, you get the cartridge with the sticker and stuff on it. But, you know, it's kind of a niche thing, but it's really cool. I've
made
a couple of those myself. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of time into programming it and stuff, but it is a really neat, at least nowadays, with how far we've come in the last 30 years, where it's pretty neat where, you know, I'm assuming with a little bit of advanced knowledge of that stuff, you can program your own game and not have it be terribly difficult. You have people just making their own games, you know? And how cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty neat because it's like, oh, hey, if I ever want to play a version of Mappy Land on NES console, you know? I knew you'd like that, so I said it.
That's great. Happy Land.
Yeah, I always want to try Adventures of Lolo. I always want to try that game too, but I never did.
Man. Now, what were some of your favorite NES games as a kid? And what were some of your favorite games, and what was like that white whale that the one game that you wanted to have but you never had?
Man,
be it good or not good.
Wow. Let me think about that. Let's start with the white whale one. I guess for NES or just any system, just NES.
Probably. We're trying to stick to NES.
Yeah, we'll narrow it down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would probably say a game that I just recently purchased on eBay for like $5, an original NES cartridge, was Knight Rider. I never had the game as a kid. I always wanted it, and it still is super difficult, but I just love it. And the fact that they made a game for one of probably my favorite 80s TV show is awesome. And that'd probably be the white whale that I never had that I always wanted for NES. I would say probably my favorite game for NES. That's a really hard question. That's hard to answer. You know, it kind of changes, but I'd probably have to say I'm just going to go with, I guess, Contra. I'd have to say Contra. Because it's a very replayable game. And, you know, of course, it has the code, so you can get 50 guys or whatever. So it just makes the game even better. Because, I mean, unless you have that code, you're not going to get very far unless you're one of these guys that can program. They have it programmed in their head, every nuance, every move, which you can do. It's doable if you have the spare time on your hands. But a game I definitely don't, I didn't covet when I was, as one I actually had to have, and one that I really feel ashamed of myself for actually spending the time to beat would be Fester's Quest. I put in a Game Genie, even with the codes, it still took me 4 hours of my life I will never get back. The ending of the game is a flying saucer, these aliens being destroyed, and Fester, Uncle Fester, who is the bald guy with the robe from the Addams Family TV show, sitting in a lawn chair drinking a pina colada. That is the ending of the game.
He's resting. He spent the last 4 hours busting his bump to get through there, and...
Well, looking at the kind of shape he's in, he better have a spare robe, because he's going to have to wash that one, because he got pretty ripe running around in the sewers and sweating and that kind of thing.
That was a pretty, I won't say sought after, but that was a kind of a high-profile game when it came out.
You know, it was, because that's a Sunsoft game, and Sunsoft was known for having excellent music, like soundtrack, sound quality on their games. They did the Batman game, which is another beloved type title. There's another game which isn't as well-known, which is awesome, is Journey to Silius. And it's a cool side-scrolling shooter adventure game. It's awesome. The game, the composer of it is so... He did such a great job. He's from Japan. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. But the cool thing was that particular cartridge, they took a picture, a still of actual gameplay, and then put it on the front cartridge, and then put the title of the game over the top, right? That is so unheard of for NES games, or any other system for that matter, of putting an actual gameplay still, aside from maybe Gyromite or Super Mario Brothers, on the cartridge in that time period. I just thought it was so cool. And it wasn't... This was a more advanced game. This game came out in like 90 or 91, when the game developers are starting to really tap into the advanced... really pushed the processors to get really awesome graphics. So it was a far, far different from maybe like the really pixelated Mario Brothers graphics to this really refined sprites. Like the sprites, like the individual blocks that make up the resolution of the game, the sprites were much more refined and the games were more detailed and everything. And they weren't as clunky. And there was a lot of games coming out, like Zoda's Revenge, Star Tropics, games like that that were a far cry from what Nintendo started out as far as the...
Yes.
They were pixelated, yeah. But yep. Now, I will ask you, Jody, the same thing. What was a game that was your white whale that you wanted?
I think I had pretty simple taste. But I think my white whale when I was a kid, and this is a very... I used to borrow it from a friend of ours as much as possible, but for some reason, like, didn't ask for it or didn't think they'd buy it for me. My parents would buy it for me. It was Super Tecmo Bowl. Had all the teams on it, had all the rosters on it. I thought it was awesome. And I actually just bought it probably 2 years ago for the Super Nintendo. And I was stoked to have it.
Yeah.
I was stoked to have a Super Nintendo, which, again, I just got a couple years ago, and have this game for it to finally play, because I used to play it. I borrowed it from our friend Scott when I was a kid, and just play it for like 3-4 hours straight at night while I had it. And like I said, I was stuck with John Elway's quarterback, so me... They have, like, licensed teams and have actual players and, you know, Walter Payton. Well, no, he wasn't in Super Tecmo Bowl. So to have, like, Bo Jackson or Christian Okoye, like, you know, it just blew me away. That game was so much fun. My team of choice was the Denver Broncos, so I suppose I would have had boy, who would my running back have been on that game? I'm not sure. It's not important. But anyway, that was probably my white whale, which is not a terribly hard game to get at the time. But my favorite game to play? I honestly can't think of. It seemed to me like the games that were more fun for me to play were the ones that I didn't actually own, because you had just a short time with the game, so you got to really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'd almost go with, I really like Super Mario 2. I know that game is, some people love it, some people hate it, but I really liked that game as a kid. It's
so much
different than the first one.
Yep.
But, I mean, it is only one player, but I spent a lot, and that was my aunt's game. My aunt and uncle had the game, but I used to borrow it from them all the time. And, I really enjoyed that game. I actually like it, even now, I like it more than 1 or 3. I've always been a big fan of Mario Brothers 2.
Especially
when it came out, when did it come out, like 89?
Yeah,
the graphics are really
right.
Good. It really blew a lot of the stuff away coming out at the time.
Well, because it's a reskin. It's the original game was a Japanese release, and...
Yes. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, Jody, off the top of my head, but the original game, the original skin of that game was a kid wearing like a turban, and he was like an Arabian type, you know, game with clouds and jumping and, you know, mystical stuff on it and all that, and that's why it's so different from the original Mario Brothers. And, you know, it was like, I don't know if you ever had a chance to play the lost version, like the real Super Mario Brothers 2, which was, like I said previously, was released on the eStore. I didn't know if you knew anyone that had a Wii, but and had downloaded that game, but it's super hard. It has poison mushrooms on it, and so when you hit a brick, the mushroom that looks like a 1-Up, it's not really a 1-Up, because the toadstool itself is dark. It's a dark toadstool. So when you hit it, you either, if you haven't gotten a power up, you die immediately, or you go down one level. And so, yeah, and it's super hard because you're sitting here trying to play this game that, like, the original, if you're from our generation, the original Mario Brothers, you have it hardwired in your head what to do. And you know all the shortcuts to get to, like, World 4 and then go to World 8, you know, because you can jump above the bricks up on top of the screen and then drop down in the secret pipe. I think you go to World 5 and then you can go to World 8 or whatever it is. And you're playing this game that looks so familiar, but it's so different. The graphics are the same, the music's the same, but now there's these poison mushrooms, and the levels are super difficult compared to the old one. And, like, you're having to jump this chasm, and there's a little slim nub of brick to jump onto, just enough room for, like, two of Mario's feet. And it's amazing. And but, you know, I think it's funny because, like, I would rent games from, like, Farmhouse. We had a rental place because, you know, in the 80s and 90s, rentals were huge, man. That was the thing. And
sure.
And Farmhouse was amazing because they had, I rented pro wrestling from there. Pro wrestling.
Farmhouse, P-H-A-R-M. It wasn't like you were going to somebody's dusty old barn to, you know, churn butter and then play, The Adventures of Bayou Billy or anything along those lines.
Hey, if you want to play Bayou Billy, you got to work for it. Start churning that butter. Put your back
into
it.
No, it was like farm as in pharmacy.
Yeah.
Farmhouse.
Yeah,
creative.
PH, pretty hot. But I got Mario Cement Factory from Farmhouse as a gift when I was when I was recovering from appendicitis.
Yes, I've heard that story before. It's pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah.
You had the choice to pick out. That's what you wanted. You wanted that more than like anything in the world, right? That little handheld Mario Cement Factory.
Yeah, it was a bad move, and I should have just kept my mouth shut.
Didn't you trade a bunch of tree? Did you trade a bunch of stuff for it?
No. I had appendicitis in fifth grade, and my sister purchased it because Jason parlayed to get me the X Smash and Crush set of WWF wrestlers, and she goes, no, he wants this Mario Cement Factory. And Jason tried, man, he tried to save me, and as usual, my big mouth gets in the way, and he knew what was better for me, and he was right in retrospect. because this game was well past its prime, because it was new old stock from like 1984, so this thing had been collecting dust for like 10 years already at this point. And Game Boys were out, so this thing was an LCD display, like game, it's a piece of crap. And, oh, it's got a watch on it, and it has a little metal stand, and you could set an alarm clock on there.
Look at a 10-year-old kid needs an alarm clock for anything. I have somewhere to be. I got a point to make.
Yeah. And, yeah. But, yeah. So, it's funny. They had, like, a really wide selection of games for, like, Genesis and SNES and Nintendo and stuff, and it was really kind of a sweet spot, man, in the 90s when you had all three systems available to choose from, which you spanned a jump in technology there, because with the NES games you go from 8-bit to 16-bit. Well, when you had the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, they were 16-bit systems, right? But they were different processors. The audio was different. The video was different. And there were games for the Super Nintendo. I actually always wanted a Super Nintendo as a kid, but I got a Genesis instead. And I was thankful to
get... Same here.
Yep, you and I are on the same path on this one. And, I have the Super Nintendo that my mom bought it from a friend of hers that her son was tired of it because he was always wanting the latest, greatest thing. So she sold that to my mom with all the games, and she got it for me for Christmas, right? Well, the funny thing was that the lady smoked, right? And so half of the console is smoker's yellow. And it's very funny because it's like a brownish gray. And the console works fine. But I think it's very funny that half of it's smoker's yellow. It's very funny.
You know what's funny? Like you said, I just got a Super Nintendo like 2 years ago, right? And mine is also like that smoker's brown.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this kid I knew, he had the Super Scope, but that was long gone by the time. I don't know what he did to the Super Scope, but I ended up getting the Super Scope cartridge with that, but I didn't have the Super Scope. So I don't know what he ended up doing, maybe he traded it in or something. But I remember playing the Super Scope, and that was, you'd get headaches after a while because you would put that on your one eye and squint, and you would get headaches from... like the little pad or whatever, that hard piece of rubber that was on like the sight of the bazooka, it would press on your bone and give you a huge headache. And some of those electronics for the Nintendo systems and stuff, like Virtual Boy and stuff like that, man, you get seizures, or like people get seizures or like really bad headaches, and you had to really be careful. I never knew anyone that had seizures from it, but there was a reason why they're putting those warnings on there, because it's like the Virtual Boy. I knew this guy. I think I've told you the story before, Jody, but we knew this kid, right? And they rented a Virtual Boy from this place called Video to Roll, right? I think you remember that place. And
yes, I remember the jingle on the radio, but go on.
Yeah. So they rented this thing for like, they probably paid a hefty ransom for this thing. They rent it for like a week. He said he comes home one night after school, and his stepdad is sitting at the dining room table, butt naked, playing Virtual Boy. And he was so engrossed in the game, he didn't realize anybody had walked in. And he's just sitting there butt naked. And this guy was a big guy with a big gut and everything, so it's very funny. And he's just like, oh, son of a bitch. He's like swearing at the game because he was playing Mario Tennis or something like that. And it was very funny.
Naked. He's playing Mario Tennis.
Naked. And, yeah, it was very funny. They only had two games for it. They had this boxing game, Virtual Boxing, and then, like, Virtual Tennis or whatever. Virtual Tennis. It was very funny, but he's, like, buck naked. And
now before I forget, am I cutting you off?
No, you're fine.
Okay. But first again, because I know we got to wrap it up soon, I did promise earlier to mention one of those, you know, we're talking the NES Classic, we're talking Nintendo here, but, you know, I have noticed, due to the glut of these, due to the lack of the NES Classic, that the stores are trying to push anyways, the Atari Flashback system, comes preloaded. That's $50 with, I think, 80 games. And the Genesis, they have a Genesis that's preloaded with, what is that? I think that has 80 games or something on it. But that has a, spot for your cartridges, so that's pretty cool that they did that. That's what you're asking NES Classic to do. But Nintendo has to, you know, do everything their way, so they didn't do it with that.
Right.
But I guess what I wanted to say about the Atari Flashback is, especially looking at the back of the box, I have very fond memories of playing my Atari as a kid, but I would feel with that Atari Flashback that that would be good to play for roughly a half hour before you realize that, boy, these games after 35 years have not held up well.
No. They're bad. No. They suck.
They are bad. They are bad. Yeah. Especially, I remember looking at the back of an Atari Flashback. They didn't even have any good Atari games on there, i.e. Barnstormer.
yeah, Barnstormer nowhere to be found.
The Activision was where it was at. Activision made all my favorite games. But I don't think any of those were on there. Maybe Pressure Cooker was on there. I'm not sure. You're trying to get all these, making all these hamburgers and stuff. It's like Burger Time, but better.
Oh man, this is a ripoff. 88 Eyes isn't even on here. What the heck?
What is that game?
It was a game for the NES. It's called 88 Eyes. I think you're like a pirate or something. It's very funny, but.
But that Atari Flashback, I think that's something that you would, I'm assuming that's something that people will get. Well, I couldn't get the NES Classic, so I got the Atari Flashback instead. You know, somebody that was really hoping to play Super Mario Brothers 3 Christmas morning is going to end up playing like Super Breakout for 7 minutes instead before they decide to do something else more productive.
Ultimate Rufio Brothers. What's this?
not good.
No, and I mean, I you know, one quick story before we jet. There's a grocery store that is still in Watertown to this day. It was remodeled about 16 years ago. It's called Farmhouse, and they had a video rental place there. And I mean, all the way up until the late 90s, they had a video game rental place before they did a remodel. And my mom had rented a Bigfoot, like the monster truck, not the cryptid, if you will, a Bigfoot NES game. And the game was really hard because you had to push back and forth on the directional pad to get the truck to move, to build up throttle. It was a very bad design for a game. Very stupid. But my brother and I took it down to our cousin's house, and he was like a teenager, so he had all like the reflexes and the strength to actually get this truck to move pretty good. And you had to practically sit on your knees and put your leverage into the support getting this directional pad to go fast enough, right? And we had the game for like a really long time, and our dad got so mad because he worked up this huge late tab on it. He had to pay in like 20 or 30 bucks on late charges, and he was not happy. And $20 or $30 back then was a lot more money than it is now, and it was very funny. And we are notorious for borrowing games and paying horrible late fees. Yeah. But we could have just bought the game for what we paid in late fees. Very funny.
What would your dad have sounded like when he found out the late fees for that?
Well, we run a PG show here. But a tapestry would have been woven for sure. And, yeah, he didn't like video games. We got him, we tried to get him and my mom to play play Mario Brothers. When they first got the console, they got all stressed out, and we had it hooked up in my dad's bedroom, right? Because my parents worked opposite shifts, and they didn't want to wake each other up. And so my dad had his own room, and we set it up on the TV in there. And he goes, I can't do this. Son of a... He starts swearing because he couldn't even get past the part where the first stage of Mario, where you jump that that precipice that's there. And then my mom was, oh, I'm all stressed out. I can't do this. Oh, like that. And they couldn't even make him move. I remember they couldn't even get him to run or move forward. And, oh, so funny. They each played that game a grand total of like 30 seconds and gave up. I was like, well, we tried, Jason.
Why would an Italian plumber slide down a flagpole?
Italian. He's Italian. Pretty much. That's awesome. Yeah, and we can't ever do this kind of stuff justice. I mean, with, you know, our block of, you know, time.
No.
I mean, we have as much time as we want.
Once I get this thing, I'll come back on here. I'll give a review of if it was worth it. I'm not paying $1 over $60, so.
I don't blame you.
You know, I'll come back on. I'll give a review of it. I'll let everybody know what I think of it. But we will agree to disagree on this topic.
Well, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm just saying that
sure, that's usually the case.
It was funny because I guess I wasn't in the market for one, and for me it's a no-brainer to just go and download it, something that's been available for 10 years. But I could see if you're someone who's had their head in the sand for the last 10 years, this would be a great opportunity.
You're telling me I've had my head in the sand for the last 10 years? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, actually I am.
Because I didn't want to play, I'm trying to think. I was trying to think of a game for the Wii, but I can't think of any because they're crap. So
you're saying Wii games are crap?
A lot of them are, yeah.
You never owned a Wii, so how do you know?
Because I saw enough of them on the
Because I saw a bunch. Well, I own a Wii, and there's a lot of good games. Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's probably a lot of good games, but there's a lot of bad
games. Oh, there's some terrible ones. There's one called Red Sword. Oh, it's so bad. It's a piece of crap. Don't punch people for sword.
And the lesson, I never bought one.
The lesson is, don't punch people for sword. I think you know what I'm talking about. You don't remember. The moral of the story is, don't punch people for sword. You don't remember that, do you?
Refresh my memory. I think I got it, but I'm not quite sure.
A great tale written by King Mike Election.
You were referring to the
Blood
to
Sports. The Blood Sports.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Blood makes
that's
it
what
everywhere.
I thought you were referring to.
It's on my phone, man. It's one of my favorites. But anyway,
King Mike Election.
Thank you. But yeah, this was a good discussion, man, and we hope you guys are entertained by us grappling with each other, and I really enjoy being able to kind of clear the air with Jody, because when we were growing up, when we were like teenagers and stuff, when we started hanging out and everything, we would sit on his mom's porch at her house in Dexter. And we'd have debates like this, and it's awesome, and it was so much fun. And we'd also heckle people that walk by, which is cool too. But it was, you know, so it's fun to be able to do this, and we hope you guys really enjoyed that. Before we go, I'd like to say some recommendations, some plugs for some other podcasts we listen to. There's a More Than You Can Chew podcast with Tiffany Moore. Check that one out. That one's pretty cool. We have
M-O-O-R-E, Moore. I think I do that every week, but I like to get it out there. I like to make sure.
No, that's good.
M-O-O-R-E, You Can Chew.
Yeah, my motor skills are
more
declining.
More than You Can Chew.
Than, yes. We have the McSauce podcast with Ian, Paul, and Matt. They talk for a lot of video games on that one. You know, if you like this show, they get into a lot of you know, video games and things like that occasionally.
Occasionally,
I should say, not a lot, but occasionally they do. But they, you know, they talk comics, movies, that kind of thing.
Irrelevant stuff. I saw their last episode. They were talking the Legend of Santa Claus. So I'm looking forward to listening to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm behind on all my podcast listens. But I need to also do a shout out to Ryan McCormick at A Fireside Chat. It's one of my favorite shows. That guy's great. Him and I are kind of in a lot of ways like kindred spirits, you know, in a lot of ways. We're both very honest about our opinions. I like that. So those are some of the podcasts that that we like, and they've been big supporters of us, and so give those guys a listen. And we're on Twitter at KittKar83, KittKar83. On Facebook, we're a Case in Point Podcast. We have a Facebook page there. We're on Stitcher, we're on Audio Boom, iTunes. Yep.
iTunes, Tuned In Radio. You can stream us on there. We're pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find us. Obviously, you probably found us anyways. Anyway, when you're listening to this.
Yeah, so, and if you guys like to hear more of us sparring like this and like to hear more debating about things, please leave something on our Facebook page or our Twitter page. Send us a message. Yeah. Send us some suggestions and get some ideas out there for things you guys would want to hear. And, you know,
I'd like to know where people come in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Come in on tonight's debate. I'd like to know where what people think of that.
Yeah, and I hope they're entertained by it, because I think it's probably funny to hear us argue with each other, and I think it is. I think it's hilarious. But
I like it.
Yeah. Jody, is there anything else you want to mention, or?
Let me think. You got the Twitter page. You got the Facebook page. I'm on Twitter at RegalFan. And you are on Twitter at Vandura, VANDURA 81. And get at us there. Yeah, like the Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be great if you use iTunes. And if not, then give us a Facebook like.
If you like the show,
help us out.
Yeah,
we'd love to be in contact with our audience. So
yes, please. Yeah, and if you like us, tell a friend. If you don't, tell an enemy, because we'll still be here tomorrow. All right, folks. We thank you for sticking with us, and we'll catch you next time.